from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Unfortunately, and I know the texters are decidedly mixed on pursuing the Jiminy topic. IT reached out to a man named Jiminy in Vegas, and he's maybe for good reason has had his number changed.
The phone is out of service. He must have gotten wind and immediately called the phone store. Change my number.
We'll keep working on that because so many of you want resolution there. But in the meantime, let's move on to the NFL. I mean, this is somebody asked me the other day, what's your favorite sport to cover? I said the NFL, just because it's there's always something happening and there's such intense interest. It's America's game. And this week it all starts. Like, we're going to start talking Steelers. Not that we ever really stop, but we are going to talk Steelers every single day for a significant amount of time from Wednesday through January to at least the beginning of January.
Yeah.
Right?
No doubt. I mean, football's king for a reason. And I mean, some of these big stories that are coming out, like Joe Burrow's good to go. How does that impact the Steelers? We get to see Justin Fields and Russell Wilson on the field this week in front of fans, and with everything starting to really ramp up, not completely football and shorts anymore.
So I have
it's go time.
Right, exactly.
It's go time.
Yes, and this is
it's exciting.
Of all the training camps around the NFL, who has a more riveting quarterback situation than the Steelers?
Yeah, I don't think there's any with the new offensive coordinator. What will Arthur Smith bring?
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, of course, is going to be probably higher profile every step he takes.
Yeah, but he was with the Jets last year in camp. I mean,
he tore his Achilles.
Right. It's a big story. But, I mean, this shiny new toys in town are Justin Fields and Russell Wilson that nobody's seen yet.
All eyes are going to be on this. It's incredibly dramatic. It really is. I mean, they traded Kenny Pickett. They traded what happened to
Mason Rudolph left and went to Tennessee.
He never signed. He's gone. Trubisky's gone. They cleaned out the quarterback room, and they brought in one of the biggest lightning rods in the whole league in Russell Wilson. Let's ride Wilson. And then they went out and got another lightning rod in Justin Fields. And every single pass they attempt is going to be a story, and it should be a story. I feel like I say this every year, but there are some out there who complain and make fun of these charts that people like Cabali keep at camp, where they take a look at every single play, every single throw, every single, you know, muscle movement. That's the coverage I want. Who doesn't want that? I want to know what happens. I want stats from every practice. I want stats from warmups. I want stats from the 7-on-7 drill. Right? I mean, this is what football fans want.
You know what I want?
Should.
You know what I want, Joe?
What?
Steelers Nation. Let's ride.
Steelers Nation, ride with me, baby.
Oh, boy. Steeler Nation, let's ride.
Steelers Nation, let's ride.
Just found that gem.
Was that Sean, Don't Call Me Seth at
yes,
the end?
It was.
That's when Wilson first came here. Who was in on that? Was that Donnie Football?
Donnie Football, Bob, you, and Sean Myers.
Oh, we got it. Who had the best one? You and IT can rate this. Let's hear that again. That was tremendous.
Steelers Nation, let's ride.
Steelers Nation, ride with me, baby.
Oh, boy. Steeler Nation, let's ride.
Steelers Nation, let's ride.
Sean doesn't really seem too enthusiastic about it. I think Donnie had the best one.
I think Pomp had the best one. IT.
Broncos country, let's ride.
All right,
Steelers
let's do
Steelers Nation, let's ride.
Russell Wilson against Donnie.
Man, this is going to be fascinating. Russell Wilson is the Steelers quarterback.
Yeah, I never could have thought this was going to ever happen a year or so ago.
So let's just take a little trip around training camp around the end. Let's talk football. I don't even give a crap what we talk about, although I have a bunch of things here on the docket. Hot seat coaches. This is from The Athletic. I get a little feature called The Pulse every morning, filled with opinions, breaking news, and such. Top three coaches on the hot seat heading into the season. Mike McCarthy. And this guy writes, I don't understand how Dallas will function mentally. Dak Prescott is unsigned. C.D. Lamb, unsigned. They lost defensive coordinator Dan Quinn to Washington and last year saw another embarrassing, bitter end for a team too talented to choke season after season in the playoffs. The pressure already feels untenable. I agree with this guy. I think it's going to blow up in Dallas this year. I thought they were a really good team and a dangerous team last year. And then came playoff time, and their playoff games are like Bills Super Bowls. It's like things start to go wrong early, and they implode, and you can just feel it. Like that Packers game, you knew the it was going to get worse, not better, for the Cowboys. Like there was zero chance they were going to win when things started to crumble early. And I think that may be the metaphor for their entire season. I fear for Greenfield's very own Mike McCarthy. I think I wouldn't be shocked if he didn't make it through the season in Dallas. You?
I'm surprised that he even made it through the offseason and is still the coach of the Cowboys. This thing is destined to just tank and become a disaster for the Cowboys. The writing's on the wall.
With Jimmy Jones. Not even Jimmy Johnson.
Jerry Jones?
Who the hell is the owner of the Cowboys? Jerry Jones. Will he go after Nick Saban?
Yes.
Can you imagine
100%.
That? I don't think Nick Saban would want to take
Saban's
this on.
Nick Saban's done.
But who's the biggest fish out there? Who's the biggest fish? It was Harbaugh before this.
Yeah.
I know who it is. Bill Belichick.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't sign Belichick to be their coach right away. Or what about
Dabo Sweeney
from
will be your Cowboys coach next season. How old will his girlfriend be then?
26.
Oh, she's 25 already?
She'd be 25, I think, yeah.
25. I mean, that whole situation.
She'd be able to run a car.
It's just incredible. That would be like, you know, my daughter at the age of 22 coming home and saying, Dad.
Should be dating Ron.
No, or I'd like you to meet my new boyfriend, and Andy Reid walks through the door. He would be as old then as Belichick is now.
Yeah.
I mean.
Or like somebody 10 right now dating Tomlin or something like that. It's just weird, man.
What? You mean when they're 22?
Yeah, like eventually when they get to be like 22 and Tomlin is another 20 years older.
I mean, That whole thing is just insane with Belichick.
It's just weird.
It would be
weird.
Said at the start, it would be like you dating the narrator from Titanic. Was she, he likes that one. Was she 100 when she did that narration?
Of Titanic?
Yeah.
You love bringing up the lady from Titanic,
yeah,
huh?
Because it's not that dissimilar than Belichick, who's 72 with a 24-year-old girlfriend.
Yeah, it's not that different. It happens when money is involved.
The second coach on the hot seat from The Athletic is Robert Saleh from the Jets. He and Aaron Rodgers, the story says, started the offseason poorly. And remember how bad this team was without Rodgers. It's a good roster, but if the 40-year-old QB misses more time this year or is just pretty good and not great, this entire regime is in trouble. And he's got four out of five flames next to the seat here. Again, I can't agree more with this, that the Aaron Rodgers era with the Jets is going to go down as a flaming disaster. I ain't buying it. He may show a couple of signs of greatness, maybe like a late stage Brett Favre. Brett Favre was actually very good in Minnesota, and then even with the Jets. But when it finally got to the end, you saw just, you know, right before the fires went out, there were a couple of burning embers, but you could tell that it was done. Or like Ben, you know what I mean? Where he was functional, but no longer able to carry a team. I'm not buying it. I just don't like the whole vibe around Rodgers and the Jets. I think they finish with a losing record, and I think he's going to be done in New York.
Did you see the story that the Jets wanted to hire Arthur Smith to come in and call plays and basically go and step over the head of Nathaniel Hackett?
Yes, I did.
Nathaniel Hackett has just been this puppet the last 3 years.
The whole thing there, the whole Aaron Rodgers idea is ready just to blow up. And that's what's going to happen.
Somebody's going to be the fall guy, and it's probably going to be Robert Saleh. Does he deserve it? I don't think so, for what he's done with the defense. I mean, the Jets are a losing organization. It's like trying to win in Cleveland. And Aaron Rodgers getting hurt, they still were a functioning team with Zach Wilson, who's terrible. So, but yeah, he's on the hot seat, and if they don't make the playoffs, he's going to get fired. Should it be justified? I don't think so, unless they completely...
What do you mean? They stunk for 3 years under him.
They were okay. What was it? 2 years ago without any quarterback?
I guess. Yeah, you're right.
I don't think they're that bad.
Matt Eberflus is number three on this. It says, should Eberflus' leadership tank another season with a gifted quarterback, he'll be in trouble. If Eberflus fails again, see ya, it says. And I agree with that. Just a... This whole Caleb Williams thing, again, I have a hard time believing this is going to be like C.J. Stroud here. I don't trust Eberflus. And the guys who are honorable mention are Dennis Allen with the Saints. They've become just a nondescript, mediocre franchise that nobody cares about. That's me talking, not him. And Nick Sirianni. Diana Rossini wrote this over at ESPN. If Sirianni doesn't take them to a championship level in 2024, the leash probably isn't very long. You know, the Eagles are kind of the anti-Steelers in that when it's not good enough, they change coaches. And they're proof that you can do that and be successful, right? They went with Andy Reid all those years, and he got them to four NFC title games and a Super Bowl, but he never won the Super Bowl. So when he went 4-12 one year, they brought in Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly went 20-12 and had a playoff appearance. 20-12. They're giving out statues around here for people with winning records or even 500 records. He got fired during year three. They brought in Doug Peterson. He won a Super Bowl. Went to the playoffs 3 years out of his final four, again, giving out statues around here for that. And then he sunk to 4-11-1. He's out. they bring in Sirianni. He's been to the playoffs all 3 years of his tenure. Lost wild card, lost Super Bowl, lost wild card. He's on the hot seat. They're proof that if you trust yourself as an owner and as an organization, you don't go by these tired old sayings like, oh my God, who would we replace our head coach with? Would we find the right replacement? And gee, if we get rid of this guy, he'll have a job in 5 minutes. Great. Then let him go get a job in 5 minutes. The idea here is to win tons of playoff games and win championships. And the Eagles have abided by that. And over the past decade, they've done a much better job than the team on the western side of the state, haven't they? I'll answer that question, well, City Limits. Yeah, yes, they have.
The Eagles are the most impatient organization, I think, in all of football. Like, if they don't...
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Since Andy Reid.
Like, the most impatient winning organization.
Correct.
Maybe.
The most impatient winning organization. Like, if things are not, we're going to the Super Bowl now, post-Andy Reid, like with Doug Peterson. They fired Doug Peterson the year after, year or two after they went to the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Carson Wentz
was they got rid of Andy
MVP.
Reid. And Andy Reid walked into Patrick Mahomes.
They're not afraid to pivot and find someone else.
Yes, and Andy Reid's having a wonderful life since he left Philly, and they ain't doing too bad either. They brought in Peterson. He won beat Belichick in a Super Bowl. They got rid of him, and now he's had a couple good years one good year out of two in Jacksonville. He may be on a hot seat, by the way.
He is.
If they don't get it something done this season. But he went to Jacksonville and had some success, and so did they. Everybody lives happily ever. There's lots of good football coaches. There are. So they go out and get Sirianni, and they've gone 9-8 wild card. Again, statues here for that. 14-3 Super Bowl, 11-6 losing the wild card. That ain't bad.
No.
Not bad. You go to the playoffs every year, you go to a Super Bowl, and yet he's on the hot seat. It's a different way of doing things, and that's not what's happening here. They are sort of living in their fears, and maybe Mike Tomlin will have a renaissance here and actually start to win some big games, because it's been 6 years, 7 years since that happened.
Yeah, remember I was a freshman in high school the last time they won a playoff game?
Big games I define as playoff games. Maybe the Steelers don't. I don't know. But last I checked, the biggest games are playoff games. Obviously, there's some in the regular season. And they've gotten a lot of breaks, too, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, look at their divisional record the past 2 years. I think 4 of the 6 divisional games they had last year were against backup quarterbacks. One of the other ones was still rusty and horrible Deshaun Watson handing them a game, if you remember that.
Well, they faced Jake Browning. They faced bad Watson. Didn't they lose to Dorian Thompson-Robinson up in Cleveland?
Yeah, they faced Jake Browning twice.
Jake Browning twice.
They 4 of the 6 were backups.
And the last Baltimore game, Lamar didn't play. Yeah, backup. Yeah.
So, man. It's just interesting to read coaches on the hot seat or even like coaches under the most scrutiny. And Mike Tomlin's not even on those kinds of lists. You know, he's not on a list anywhere.
Oh, he just got an extension. He's not going to be on a list.
He's on more top 5 lists for people than he is hot seat or under scrutiny list. It's amazing. It's an amazing phenomenon. There are people who are headed to junior high school who have no conscious memory of the Steelers winning a playoff game. If you buy the theory, City Limits, that the first 4 to 5 years of your life, you don't remember anything, you tack on 7 more and you're 12 years old and you have no memory of the Steelers winning a playoff game.
They don't have much memory of anybody winning a playoff series since 2018.
So, you know, I don't mind the way they've done business in Philly. And here's, I bet you what they're thinking is that if Sirianni doesn't work out, we can go find another good football coach. We've found 4 in a row. I would include Chip Kelly there. There's a lot of teams in the NFL that would like to go 20-12 over the next 2 years, aren't there? Even though they play 17 games now, the equivalent winning percentage. I don't think that's too bad. Chip Kelly in his 2 years there, they had 442 points. They were like a plus 80 in point differential and a plus 74 in point differential and won 20 of 32 games. And that wasn't nearly good enough for the Eagles, because the next year they were floundering around 500 and got rid of the guy. I kind of like having standards like that myself. If we're going to talk about the standard being the standard, it seems to me that the standard around here is don't have a losing season. I think that's a pretty low standard.
Keep people interested.
Maybe that's just me. Then there are all these top 10 quarterback lists out there, which I find fascinating. I'm going to tell you where Russell Wilson is on both Chris Sims' list. He put out the top 50, and there's good news and bad news for Steelers quarterbacks. And Jeremy Fowler and somebody else at ESPN, I forget who, interviewed executives, coaches, scouts, and came up with a top 10 quarterbacks. Russell Wilson didn't make that list, did he? By the way, before we go, there's a great new hockey rule that's coming to the Russian juniors that Adam Proto of the Hockey News said the NHL should adapt or adopt, whatever the right word is there. And he's 100% right. The rule is that it's in 3-on-3 overtime, teams will not be permitted to bring the puck back to their half of the ice. No more regrouping, no more delay of games, which you see in the NHL all the time in 3-on-3. The excitement has lessened since it came in. It's still great for the most part, but it's much less than what it was, mostly because of that, because you see teams ragging the puck, taking it back to their own end, regrouping. You take the puck back beyond your own beyond the red line, and you're penalized. Actually, it takes two of those. Teams that twice violate that rule will be assessed a minor penalty. I agree with Adam Proto. This will be unbelievable in 3-on-3 overtime in the NHL.
How are they going to be able to fully regulate that?
Watch the game and see if the puck goes over the red line.
Like, how many instances is that going to happen, though, with the amount of times that the puck's just dumped in by another team?
Well, they're going to have to dump. You don't want to dump the puck because that's giving the other team possession in overtime. But you're right. It might be a little difficult to regulate whether they had possession when the puck went over the red line. They're just going to have to do it. The bottom line is you're not going to be able to constantly skate back into your own end and regroup and therefore shut down the excitement of overtime.
Like
no more.
Your own new offsides somewhat.
I think the NHL should adopt this. Maybe see how it works in Russian junior hockey. Thank you, City Limits. I just wanted to get that in there.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, and I loved you, and it took my breath.
Yeah, it's time for football talk, too. In addition to all this pirate talk, because we have NFL training camps opening, Steelers players report Wednesday. And so we just did the coaches on the hot seat. How about the top quarterbacks in the league? Is anybody expecting Russell Wilson to have a big year with the Steelers? Jeremy Fowler interviewed executives, coaches around the league, came up with a top 10 here, their top 10. Mahomes, obviously. Burrow at number 2. Allen, number 3. Lamar. Matthew Stafford clicks in at number 5. Justin Herbert, CJ Stroud, Aaron Rodgers, Jared Goff, and Dak Prescott. So no Jalen Hurts in the top 10? No Jordan Love? If you had a choice right now, just for 1 year, I would take Jordan Love over probably Stafford, Herbert, Rodgers, Goff, and Prescott. He'd be like number 4 or 5 on my list. Maybe I'm crazy.
Love.
I think he's a star.
Do you think it's just it's obviously the way that he ended, because he started the year a little bit flat, wasn't very good until late. I mean, obviously took off, and then the Cowboy game was the big breakout party in the national stage. You got to see him. He's the top 10 guy, top 5. There's a lot of good quarterbacks out there. He ain't top 5 yet.
Yeah, who's your top 5?
Mahomes.
Uh-huh.
Allen.
Uh-huh.
Burrow.
Uh-huh.
Lamar.
You just spent half the show ripping Lamar.
Yes, is the greatest quarterback ever. Not a top 5 quarterback currently, present day.
All right, you got Lamar in there.
He also still can't beat the Steelers.
And who's 5?
Plug.
Who's 5?
Justin Herbert.
No CJ Stroud in your top 5. My top 5 is Mahomes, Josh Allen, CJ Stroud, Jordan Love, and Joe Burrow. How do you like that, big boy?
Huh? Maybe I should drop Lamar Jackson out. You didn't even have him in the top 5.
How do you like that, big boy?
Huh? I like it. You know, it's the new shiny object in the building with Jordan Love right now and CJ Stroud.
Here is Chris Sims. Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar, and Stafford.
So he had
when
the same
did
top
Stafford
4.
Stafford get back in the top 5 here,
yeah,
for everybody?
I don't believe this Stafford.
What is happening? He's good.
He's good. He's good.
Don't get me wrong.
But he's not top 5 good.
Herbert, CJ Stroud, Jalen Hurts, Goff, Lawrence, Cousins, Love. If you asked every single coach and offensive coordinator and GM right now, you injected them with truth serum and said, would you rather have Jordan Love or Kirk blanking Cousins? 32 of 32 would say Jordan Love, I think.
Not Atlanta.
I think they'd rather have Jordan Love.
Not if you're giving them 40-some million a year.
I'd rather Jared Goff, Trevor Lawrence, Jalen Hurts, Prescott. I'd rather have Love than any of them. I do give Chris Sims credit for putting Aaron Rodgers way down at 14. Baker Mayfield, 15. You notice who I haven't gotten to yet?
Justin Fields or Russell Wilson.
Kyler Murray, 16. Brock Purdy, 17. Tua, Geno Smith, Caleb Williams, and finally Russell Wilson. The good news here is the Steelers have 2 quarterbacks in the top 25. The bad news is 0 in the top 20 for Chris Sims. So where do you think Russell ranks here? Where do you think he will rank? For me, all these rankings are about who's going to be the best quarterbacks this season. Who are they? Who's going to have the best seasons? Okay? And if Russell Wilson has the 21st best season, they're in big trouble. This guy's, he's got him just ahead of Derek Carr and Daniel Jones and Deshaun Watson, who absolutely stinks. Where do you have Russell Wilson on your list?
About 14th or 15th. That's where he should be this year. I mean, I'm still not completely buying in that he's going to be a top 10 quarterback again. I think those days are numbered or days are over. But 15th, I think, is respectable. Middle of the pack.
He better be top 15.
He has to be. And if he's not, then the Steelers are going to be right around the teetering at 500 spot that they've been over the last 5-6 years and seem like they can't get out of this purgatory.
Sims has 20 is Caleb Williams. How could he have Caleb Williams already? Well, I guess he thinks he might. CJ Stroud kind of changed the equation there, right? Caleb Williams, 20, in terms of a rookie being really good, although 20 isn't that good. Russell Wilson, 21. Carr, Jones, Watson, Fields weighs in at 25, followed by Levis and Butthead, Michael Penix, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, Ryan Tannehill, who's not even on a team, Anthony Richardson.
You know who you haven't said yet?
I will. Sam Darnold, Bryce Young. If Bryce Young's the 34th best quarterback behind Ryan Tannehill, who doesn't even have a team, then that franchise should just fold. Jameis Winston, Jacoby Brissett, Joe Flacco, and Kenneth J. Pickett at 38.
Where is this Mitch Trubisky on this list?
No, he didn't make the top 40. Jarrett Stidham and Gardner Minshew round out the top 40. Gardner Minshew is way better than the 39th best quarterback, by the way. That's ridiculous.
No Mason Rudolph over Kenny Pickett on the list.
No, Mason Rudolph nowhere to be found. So here's the other thing I notice about quarterbacks in the NFL is there's way more depth than there's been in a long time. When I have to go, and you know, it's legitimate to not have Trevor Lawrence in your top 10 or Jalen Hurts. I would have Jalen Hurts in there. But when you're around 9, 10, and beyond, and you've got guys like Hurts, Jared Goff, Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers, Baker Mayfield, Brock Purdy, Tua, that's as deep as I've seen in a long time, if not ever, in terms of pretty good quarterbacks. Even when you're getting to 16, 17, 18, that's what I notice more than anything about these lists is there's lots of good quarterbacks in the league right now.
Brock Purdy could have won the MVP and was a couple of plays away from winning the Super Bowl.
Nobody
and was 17th.
Respects him.
Nobody respects him. It's all the system. It's all the players
around
him.
And they might
them.
Be right.
They might be.
The execs and coaches for Fowler don't have Brock Purdy in the top 10 either.
He should at least be in the top 15.
Probably, yeah.
And he's not, you know, he doesn't have huge traits in the things that everybody looks at, the big arm, the ability to run.
I mean, Would you like to do a draft of quarterbacks next?
I would love to do a draft of quarterbacks next.
We'll each have an 8-man team, city limits. You can either pick first or go 2-3. You know what I mean? You have the next two picks, and then the other guy gets the next two after that. It's a snake draft.
It's my choice.
Yeah.
Okay.
You get the first pick or the next two. Go ahead, choose.
Would you like Patrick Mahomes or the second or third? I want the second or third.
Holy horse milk.
So you get Patrick Mahomes.
Maybe if I make him the first pick, who's to say I won't take Josh Allen?
Good point.
Who's to say I won't take Mason Rudolph?
Who's to say I won't take Kenny Pickett?
Who's to say I won't take Levis and Butthead? He had a couple of good games last year.
Who's to say I won't take Kyle Allen, the third quarterback no one's talking about in Steeler training camp?
Not me. I'm not gonna accuse you of that. We're gonna have a quarterback draft next. I wonder if either one of us among 16 quarterbacks will take Russell Wilson. Let's do that next and talk about some of the big Steeler storylines headed into camp. And then we get back to Pirates, where we spent most of the first couple of hours. At least most of the first hour. Because they have the Cardinals coming into town. This is gigantic. The Pirates are kind of back. Baseball's back.
Yeah.
It's a huge story on the week that Steeler camp opens. How about that? It might be a bigger story between Skeens, the Cardinals, and being a half game out of first place. I think it might be, for the first time since at least 15, a bigger story than the Steelers. Do you agree, Limits?
I 100% agree. If the Steelers were coming off of a couple big playoff wins, it'd be different. And the fact that the Steelers have two fascinating quarterbacks. Huge story there. Cam Hayward's contract situation. Everything that they did on the offensive line. And the Pirates are still the bigger deal, in my mind. Says a lot about the way that the Pirates season has gone.
I think it's a gigantic night for Mitch Keller. They gave him a ton of money, at least for the Pirates. And for a lot of this season, he's looked like he's ready to reach a different level than he's been at. He was good last year, but he wasn't ace-level material. I still happen to believe that that guy, that type of pitcher is in there. But man, tonight is a big night to prove it. This feels like a gigantic game and a gigantic series for the Pirates. And two of Keller's last three starts have been not good. And the last one was very strange to see him get taken out of a game after 57 pitches, even though it wasn't going well. Shelty stepped way out of his comfort zone there to pull Keller after 57 pitches. And two starts before that, the Cardinals rocked him. So I want to see dominant Keller tonight. Do you think we will?
I think we will. And he's gotten a week off. I think it was strategic from Shelton's point of view to only go three innings. It was weird. But at the same time, I think they were trying to control what they didn't like with the high pitch count and everything. Playing the White Sox, you think, you know, you can just get away with it. And luckily they did.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.